First, well, my name is Martin May. This is Stefan Frey. We're both from ETH Zurich, which is the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. And we present some initial results we got from a work we're currently working on. And the title is The Speed of Insecurity. Indeed, we're doing that here because we hope to get some feedback we can help for further analyze the data we gathered so far and maybe have some get some ideas from your side. Just a little background notice again. The whole project indeed started with a different focus. At the beginning, we tried to find a model which helps us to model the risk of software vulnerabilities. But when we looked at this problem, we figured out that if you want to do some risk modeling, you're not really interested in the technical details of a vulnerability. You're rather interested in the vulnerability lifecycle. But for the vulnerability lifecycle, you need more data than only what is given commonly by the repositories. So mainly what we did, we consider a vulnerability all of those which have a CVE entry. But the problem is with the data you get from a CVE entry is only the disclosure date. And that for us was not enough for doing this risk modeling. So we start looking around and figuring out, so what else can we use? And how can we use the data? So what we're going to present here is not the result of the risk modeling, but we gathered so many data, we found some interesting results, and indeed, it's some initial results, and here we want to get some feedback from your side. So in the vulnerability lifecycle, we find, for us, we have to consider four dates. The one is the discovery date. That is indeed when some engineer or somebody the first time discovers that there is a software vulnerability in the code or somewhere. Another date is the disclosure date. That is when the vulnerability becomes visible and becomes publicly known. And there are two additional dates, which is the exploit and the patch availability date. And those are the four dates we use to classify and work with the different vulnerabilities. The problem is, we only get very few information. All we know is that the discovery date is always before the disclosure date. When the exploit and patch availability happens, that is something we don't know exactly. And for us, the biggest challenge was to get all this data. And we did that by not only looking at the CVEs, but also looking at a lot of advisories and trying to figure out, we tried to gather all this data which is available on the internet and get a picture of this complete vulnerability lifecycle. So Stefan will talk about how we did that in detail.
Okay, thank you. The focus for our work is the disclosure date. So we want for as many vulnerabilities as possible, we want to reconstruct the life cycle as mentioned here. So we want to measure when is a patch available, when is an exploit available, when was the vulnerability discovered relative to the disclosure date, and then see how these relationships evolve over the time. So what we did, or what you usually see is the information about the accumulated number of vulnerabilities discovered. This is a curve that will climb almost endlessly. We'll see in the far, far, far future. Where we started, first we tried to get vulnerability data. So we looked at the National Vulnerability Database and at the Open Source Vulnerability Database. When looking at those dates we were interested in, we found big discrepancies. So we decided to do a thorough analysis. We have to go deeper. So one point is that we do not enter the discussion what is a vulnerability. We consider what has a CVE entry as a vulnerability. The second is we have to be clear what is the disclosure date. So when we looked at advisories, at those databases, we found different disclosure dates or information that could be a hint to a disclosure date for the vulnerabilities. So for a thorough analysis, we need to be clear on that, have a common understanding, and we try to provide a definition for a disclosure date. So what we did to get our data, we analyzed the NVDB and the OSVDB. Then we looked at all the CVE documents, and we spidered about 80,000 security advisories from different information providers, from exploit sites, we tried to figure out, or from patch sites, from vendors and so on. So it's a huge pot of information, and we tried to make sense out of it by correlating it. So what is the disclosure date? There are lots of different opinions around there. In academia, we found lots of analysis. focusing around the disclosure date, but there's no common understanding. So what is it? Is it the first discussion in a vulnerability or in a security list? Is it some vague information that comes from a vendor, perhaps that comes with a patch, or is it just rumors? We consider those not as the disclosure date. So for our definition, we say a disclosure date, to be accepted as a disclosure date, it has to fulfill three important requirements. Number one, the information has to be made available freely to the public. So if the information is available just to a closed user group or just for payment, this does not count as the disclosure date. Then the information has to be disclosed by a trusted and independent source. Independent means if a vendor tells somebody, he certainly or probably he's biased towards his own products. And trusted means that the organization or the entity that is providing this information has earned trust in the community or in the industry. And with the information, this is our third requirement, with the vulnerability information disclosed, we want that this information has undergone some, or the vulnerability has undergone some analysis. So at least we require that there's a risk rating. With this requirement, we want to ensure that we don't have too many false positives. So if something is disclosed and fulfilling all those requirements, we consider it is really considered a vulnerability by experts. It has some kind of risk rating in it. So it is available to anybody who is concerned. So if somebody runs some software, perhaps the vendor is extinct, but he sees the information, he can make sense out of it, and he can judge what does this vulnerability mean in his exact environment. This is our proposed definition for the disclosure date. So who can provide this disclosure date information? We looked at five, we call them security information providers, like CERT, Secunia or FRCERT is from Denmark or the French, it's the European part, or from well-known ISS or well-known security focus who have a long history in providing such information. So first we analyze the data that those five security information providers can give to us. So when we look at those graphs, we have horizontally the timeline from 96 to 2006, and vertically we have the number of vulnerabilities disclosed by this entity per day. So vertically the scale goes from 0 to 80. When we look at this, we immediately see that Secunia and FRCERT, they started relatively recently. So if you want to look back for more than a couple of years, they cannot provide all the data we need. However, at the rate they provide data right now, this rate is very good, and they are considered potential candidates for providing this data or this disclosure data in the future. CERT has a history that goes back or even before 96, but the number of vulnerabilities and the speed how they provided was not good enough, say, for our analysis. So we decided to take this information from both, from ISSX Force and Security Focus. They both provide this kind of information for about 10 years. They have about the same reasonable or good amount of disclosures or advisories per day. And by taking two information providers, we can cancel out an eventual bias towards their own product, be it from ISS or be it from Symantec. So for us, the disclosure date for this analysis is taken from either ISSX Force or Security Focus, whoever is earlier in disclosing a vulnerability with a certain CV. So, first look at this data of about 14,000 vulnerabilities is this scatter plot. So, horizontally again, we have the time scale for the last 10 years, and vertically, we measure the number of days before or after the disclosure of a certain event. So in this case, we have the discovery date versus the disclosure date. As we said before, the discovery date is for our research or for our, from our definition of the life cycle, it's always before the disclosure date. But what we also see here, we have an increase in the number of vulnerabilities, and we have quite a long period, once in a while, from the discovery of the vulnerability to the disclosure. It's not seldom that we see it's more than 100 or 200 days. For the risk management, it's clear this is a real threat. So some closed user group has access to vulnerability information, and potentially the users of this software, they don't have this information. Okay, the same plot for the availability of exploits. When we look at this graph, we clearly see that exploits are available well before the disclosure and even well after disclosure of vulnerabilities. And the other thing that we see, we have increased density over the time from 96 to 2006 around the disclosure date. So the big game is really around the disclosure date. And if we look at the patch availability, we see that patches are available, but mostly at the disclosure date or after the disclosure date. You also see the risk implied here that for some vulnerabilities you have patches that come out only about 200 days or even later after the discovery and the disclosure of the vulnerability. We also see, or we see a little bit, that we have a higher density around the disclosure date. So this is to get a quick visual view on the data. To do some more deeper analysis, we plotted the correlated distribution, accumulated distribution functions. So what we see here, we have horizontally, we have again the time from or to the disclosure date. Disclosure date is zero. So we look at 300 days before and 300 days after disclosure. And vertically, we see the accumulated probability. So this is what we call the speed of insecurity. This is how fast are exploits made available. And we compare it to the disclosure date of the vulnerability, because upon the disclosure, the public and potentially every user of the software has the same information as everybody else. So what we see here is that at the disclosure date, around 10% of the exploits are already available before the disclosure date. And around the disclosure date, this number rises to more than 80%. So we can say more than 80% of the exploits are made available at or before the disclosure date. And we also have plotted this against several years. And this curve showed that it is increasing. So we can compare this to the speed of security. The speed of security is, for our research here, how fast are patches made available. If you see this curve, we see that most patches are made available around the disclosure date. It depends on the year. We have a big difference here. So between, say, 60% or 80% of the patches are made available at the disclosure date or a little before. What we also see that patches are made available after the disclosure date, but the rate seems to be much slower than the availability of exploits. But you also see that, say, at 100 days after the disclosure, still a lot of vulnerabilities have no patch available. So, most interesting is now, if we compare the speed of security and the speed of insecurity, we did it here for all the data we had for the last 5 years. So the red curve shows the speed of insecurity, patch availability, and the green curve shows the speed of security, the availability of patches. Unfortunately, the red curve is always above the green curve, so we see, especially after the disclosure date, we see that the exploits are made available much, much faster than patches. And the gap between those two curves, we call it, this is the security gap. So even if you patch your system at the day that the patch comes out, you are still prone to attacks because exploits are made available even before. So this is the main result from our initial analysis. To the best of our knowledge, this is the first time that somebody looks at the security scene from this point of view, and the first time that we can have so much empirical data to base our analysis on. We are looking forward to comments from your side. We are working continuously on this side, so we are collecting more and more data. We are academic research, so we are not biased, or we do not depend from any vendor. So The next step would be that we classify these results, so we look perhaps at certain vendors or at certain classes or uses of software. It's very difficult to get the data, especially we are limited by the number of patch availability dates we have. Much of this data has to be collected manually, and we are open to collaborate with the community or with vendors to help us to increase this data set. As I said, we continue this work, and we put part of this work, or all the graphs you saw, so here we have them already online, and in the near future we put an online research tool. We make it ready so you can do your own queries amongst or against our data set. So, thank you for your attention.
Maybe one thing just to, for the future work, what we are planning on is, well, you've seen we did that over also for comparing what happens over the last years. So we are able to identify trends, and obviously the exploits are always much faster than the patch dates. So those trends will be followed very closely. And well, as we just said, so well, we are not from industry, so we will be able to compare even software vendors, which we haven't done so far, basically because we didn't dare, and we don't have enough data to have. To really come up with some conclusive results, saying, for example, that this specific company is always a little bit late, or there's a trend from a specific company to deliver patches after, or well, they're getting slower, they're getting faster. So I think there's a lot of potential in this data, but we need more data, so we need help also from industry or maybe from other sources. But then I think it will be very nice and very interesting to have a closer look on what exactly happens in the different parts of industries. Operating systems, software, and so on.
We have plans now. This analysis was done on the complete set we have for the last 5 years. The next step we want to go, so we want to compare like high risk vulnerabilities against the other kind of vulnerabilities. And another point of view would be remotely exploitable to only local exploitable. This is the next steps that we have in mind.
It is just, well, you need numbers. So if you only have 10, well, that's probably not a lot of analysis to be done. So, well, at least you have very bad confidence intervals. So you need large numbers to really to be able to give some statements. But definitely we're going to go in that direction.
I didn't understand the last sentence. Okay. The question was that we well defined the disclosure date, but how do we define or how do we get the exploit date? So, with some advisories, we have indicators when it was exploited. For example, in the open source vulnerability database, we have lots of exploit dates. This is one source. The other source is we let our spider go against all URLs we found. So we spidered the most well-known, like Mealworm, FRCert, and those exploit archives. Usually they have an exploit date, or they have a date in there. And we are now doing, our spiders are now on an hourly basis. They are spidering the internet, so we can create a log when something popped up. But unfortunately, we don't have this log going back for a couple of years. But the key of the information is there's lots of information out there, but you have to correlate it to make sense. And our main means to correlate this is through URLs, from references, from advisories to other advisories and stuff like this.
So, well, if somebody's got a different idea or something, another source of information, we are very happy to integrate them. But that was the approach we've chosen so far.
We think, the question is, how do we see it in our data when there is a certain patch day, like from Microsoft or Oracle? We don't know whether it has an influence on the exploit dates, but we will clearly see it then in the disclosure date. Another analysis that we plan to do with this respect is so we can divide it at the disclosure date, and perhaps we can find out, okay, what vulnerability was disclosed with ahead information for the vendor, what vulnerability was just disclosed and it was a surprise for the public and for the vendor, and perhaps we can find out some data whether or not a head notification of the vendor helps to increase or decrease the patch time. This we don't know yet. We are limited by the number of, say, patch dates. because this is not so readily available. It heavily depends on the source where you can get this information from, whether you can automate it or whether you have to do it by hand. So we still need to get some more data and more confidence in our data, then we are ready for this kind of analysis.
But definitely, well, that is one of the problems. So if you've got these patch dates, you end up probably, if the vulnerability is disclosed before, you're going to have the problem that over some period of time, maximum the monthly patch date, your system will be at risk. So, well, maybe our, well, at the end when we get enough data, we can show that maybe that strategy is not optimal for the industry.
One thing that we think that we saw out of this data is the importance of those security information providers, like we have a list of 5 right now. Their role for the security industry is very important. So what we see from our data, if there's an exploit out, it doesn't take a long time now till we have an advisory, so the public is informed in a coordinated way. While a couple of years ago it was possible to have an exploit floating around doing some harm and the public was not really informed in a certain way. So we consider the role of the security information providers, it's about the same as the free press. So if something bad happens, they really closely monitor the good and the bad side of the world. If something happens, they analyze it and they provide a consistent means to inform the public. And we consider this as a very important function they have, so we want to see as many as possible of them doing this work and to have this independent view on the whole security scene. Other questions? So thank you very much and enjoy the day and the parties this evening.